Jesus. How to hear from Jesus. Amen? How many of y'all are ready tonight to hear from Jesus? Amen. Well, I believe you will. If your heart's open and you're ready and you say, I want to, I believe that you will. And some people wonder, is it normal to hear from Jesus? Is that normal? Well, I would say as Christians that it is not normal if you don't hear from Jesus. Look at John chapter 10, verse 27. And inspired by recent comments from the media and networks of this week, the fake news, Pastor Bob Nichols said. Inspired by the fake news, I've got some true news, the good news to give tonight. John 10, 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen? And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anybody pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave me is greater than all, and nobody is able to pluck anything out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And then the Jews took up stones to stone him. Things haven't changed much, have they, these days? Like, why would you pick up stones to stone somebody for that? Why would you make fun of somebody for saying that they hear from God or they hear from Jesus when Jesus said, if you're my sheep, you will hear from me? And the world, they're fine with us talking to Jesus. That's okay. But it's strange to them whenever Jesus talks back or we say that we hear from Jesus. And really, it's an antichrist spirit that says that Jesus cannot talk to us. And people don't realize it, but they really unveil themselves when they say things like that. Because what they're saying is, Jesus is dead. He's not alive. They're saying he can't speak to you. But that's not the truth. That's the spirit of the antichrist. Because we know that Jesus is alive. He does speak to us, and we expect to hear God's voice. And our relationship with Jesus is communication. It's not one way, but it's two ways, or at least it should be. And I would say this, that far too much of the church, not necessarily this church, but of the church, has one-way communication with Jesus, where they only speak to him, but never expect to hear from him. And I've been guilty of that myself. Matthew chapter 6 verse 7. Jesus says, but when you pray, don't use vain repetitions like the heathen do. He said, because they think they'll be heard for their much speaking. And there are a lot of religions in the world that think they'll recite or say what they call mantras, where they'll just say the same thing over and over and over and over again and expect that perhaps their idol or their God or whoever will hear what they have to say. But Jesus said, hey, don't pray that way. Don't pray just saying the same thing over and over and over and over again, hoping God will hear you because you say it so many times, and then just walk away. And again, like I say, I had found myself in that same mindset, in that same trap for a while there. I used to work for a company called Harvest Grass Company before I came on staff here at Calvary. I was going to church here when I was about 18 years old. I was working 60 hours a week and was managing a grass company. And it was a lot of work. So I would be working so hard there and then come to revival services here. And I look back and wonder, how in the world did I do that, except that I was so tired at times. I remember one time before bed, getting on my knees at my bed, and that was the last thing I remember. And in the morning, I woke up on my knees with my face in my bed in a puddle of slobber. And thought, what happened? I was just going to pray. Could you not tarry 1 hour? Could you not work 60 hours? And And so I was so tired and kind of out of it, but I was calling this customer up to let them know, hey, your grass is going to be delivered at your house. So I called this customer and said, hey, and it's the kind of grass you lay out in your yard. It's not drugs, you know. Sometimes I tell people I used to sell grass. They think that's my testimony before I met Jesus. After that job, I actually worked at Radio Shack for a little while. And, you know, they always ask you for your name and stuff. And I was putting this lady's name in the registry or whatever she was checking out. And I noticed her last name and I said, is your husband so-and-so? And she goes, yes. I go, oh, I know him. I sold him grass last year. And her face got... And the whole line, everybody stopped. I said, no, I mean sod, grass sod, like you lay in your yard. But anyway, I called this customer and I was saying, hey, just letting you know your grass is going to be there on this such and such time. In Jesus' name, amen. And I realized what I had just said. Your grass will be there. And I was leaving it on her answering machine, so there was no way I could take it back. And I stuttered for a second and was just like, and just hung up. Oh, man, that lady's thinking, that must be a very religious grass company, that my grass will be there in Jesus' name, amen. But I thought, why did I do that? You know, have you ever done something and you're wondering, maybe subconsciously, you're wondering, why did I do that? But it kind of reveals your thinking. It reveals something about yourself maybe you didn't realize. And I realized I had been praying to God like I was leaving a message because he wasn't home. And I would end every prayer in Jesus' name, amen, and walk away. Hang up. Never expecting to hear from God. And my prayers were very one-sided. It was always me talking to him, me talking to him, me talking to him. Now, wouldn't that be annoying if you had someone in your life that was that way? That would never let you talk to them. And I could just imagine what that would be like. And maybe you've experienced that where somebody comes up to you and somebody says, hey, David, how are you doing? It's so good to see you. All right, awesome. Or maybe you've done this before where you're like, hey, Dr. Bond, how are you doing today? And then you walk off. Have you ever had that happen? Where you're walking and somebody asks you, how are you doing today? And they're gone before you can even answer. They don't really care. That's what that means. I don't really want to talk to you. I'm just asking you something and then leaving because I don't really care what you have to say. And we have to be careful that we don't get so busy with God and busy in life and busy in work and different things. Some things that are maybe reasonable things that we just say, hey, God, just want to let you know I love you. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Or we come in and we pray for an hour and it's just words, 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 constantly. But we never take time to stop and listen to the Lord and see what he might say to us. And sometimes it's good to do that even before you talk to God. Get in God's presence and just listen to him first. I like what Pastor Bob Nichols taught me was to pray about what you're praying about before you pray about it. Because many times you come in and you're talking to God and God's like, you're praying the wrong thing. You're asking the wrong question. Listen to the Lord first, then pray, then listen to the Lord. It's communication. And many times it's praying in the Holy Spirit, just talking, but listening. Praying the perfect will of God, but listening in your spirit at the same time. And you can do that. I'm hearing from God right now as I'm talking. As I'm ministering, I'm hearing from the Lord. And he'll talk to me. There have been many times where I'm preaching or something, and I'll just catch eyes with somebody, and the Lord says, talk to that person. Tell them something. And God will give you a word. Or, and like this earlier, my son asked me, are you going to preach tonight? And I said, Lord willing, I will. He said, now, what does that mean, Lord willing? I said, well, Lord willing means I'm supposed to preach and I am planning on preaching tonight. But if God has other plans, if Pastor Bob says, Dan, you're not preaching tonight, the Lord has spoken to me and I'm going to get up there and preach, then I say, whatever you want, Lord, your will, not mine. Or if I'm up here and I'm about to deliver a word and the Lord says, no, don't go that direction, do this. And while in mid-sentence God speaks to me, I'll stop what I'm saying and not say that. There have been many times I started to say something that I was going to do something and the Lord said, no, you're not. And I said, well, hang on a second. I know I told you I was going to do that, but Lord willing, I will do that. I'm not talking about getting all flaky, you know. I'm not going to call in and say, the Lord told me not to go into work today, and so I stayed home. And I mean, if he really did, that's one thing. You know, there were some people that didn't show up to work on 9/11, you know, in New York that were glad they listened to the Lord or that for whatever reason they didn't do what they were planning on doing. But we must in these last days, really in any days, hear from Jesus in our daily lives on a constant basis. And it's not a strange thing. In fact, it's a vital thing. So, how to hear from Jesus? How do you do that? Well, many of you already know this, so none of this stuff is going to be new news to you, but many times what you focus on is what you'll begin to operate in a greater measure in. And so as I go over these things, it tunes my ears and I'm watchful, I'm listening now, maybe when I wasn't before. And so it's a good thing. And there may be some people for many years, I wondered, when people say, I heard God say this, I wondered, what did you mean? How did you hear God? I've always wanted to ask that when I was younger. How did you hear God? And very rarely in my life have I ever experienced an audible voice. It does happen. Sometimes God, even Jesus himself, can speak to you in an audible voice that you can hear and even others around you can hear. We see God did that whenever a voice came from heaven and he spoke to Jesus and said, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. But it didn't happen all the time. So how did Jesus hear from God if very rarely did he speak with an audible voice that everyone could hear? I know for myself, I was here at morning prayer one time years ago in the old building. And I had just led morning prayer worship. I played guitar and sang and it was those 542 meetings. And everybody was gone, and I'm bending over, putting my guitar, and I'll never forget this, as I'm putting my guitar in its case, I heard, it was like an audible voice say, you're getting $3,000. And I said, what? I'm looking around, I'm wondering, was that Tony on a microphone? Was somebody playing a trick on me or pulling my leg? And I realized, was that? And then I started questioning it, wondering, was that me? I thought, no, it couldn't be me because I would never imagine somebody would give me $3,000. The most anybody had ever given me and just walked up and said, hey, here, was $100. And so it made me think, well, it couldn't have been me. And I thought, well, maybe it was the devil. But then I thought, wait a second, why would the devil want me to have $3,000? That's probably wasn't the devil. So it's got to be God because it's so far out of my thinking. I wasn't even contemplating that. And so I started praising God and I had learned to respond to God's word. So I said, I'm going to start praising him and I received that. Lord, I thank you for that $3,000. Now that first initial voice was like an audible voice, but then the Lord started just speaking to me like through thoughts. And the thought came immediately, now what are you going to do with $3,000? And I said to myself or to the Lord or whoever, I said, I would go to Israel because I know there's an Israel trip coming up. And so what happened was, over a period of time, long story short, I had gotten $2,950. And I figured, well, God rounds off, you know, to the nearest, you know, 1,000 or 100. When he told me that, he was just rounding it off. And I was getting on a bus. It was like early, early morning. It was still dark outside. We were getting on a bus to go to the airport. And as I'm sitting in my seat on the bus, they said, bring 25 $1 bills and 5 $5 bills. And you can spend, and I didn't have the money to do that at the time. I did have some money in my account, but I figured, well, maybe when I get to New York, I'll put in an ATM and get some change and try to find some ones. And I just thought, man, I can't believe I didn't do that. And I was kicking myself because basically I just didn't plan for it. A car pulls up, a lady gets out with curlers in her hair, comes running to the bus. Her name was J.J. Porter. And she comes on the bus and says, is Dan on this bus? And everybody goes, hey, is Dan back there? I was near the back, you know. Again, my first time to go. It was the year 2000. And I come up there and I said, hey, what's up, JJ? I'm kind of laughing because she's got curlers in her hair. And she was mad. She said, why didn't you tell me you were going to Israel? And I said, well, I didn't, like, announce it. I wasn't telling everybody because if God said it, I didn't want to go around saying, hey, I'm going to Israel, everybody, and I expect you to give me the money. I didn't tell anybody. And so she comes up and she says, well, God woke me up out of bed and told me to come all the way down here and give this to you. And she handed me an envelope. I said, well, thank you so much for obeying God. And she just kind of walked off like, and got in her car and drove home. And I opened the envelope, and there were 5 $5 bills and 25 $1 bills in that envelope. Praise God. And I realized, to the dollar. So I knew that was God that spoke that, because it did come to pass. But then God spoke to her, and she heard God speak to her and did something. So many times when God speaks to one person, he's speaking to a lot of people. And it's very possible that he might have spoken to many other people, and she was the last one that would obey and get up out of bed and come give me that $50. I don't know. But I'm glad she obeyed God, and that was a blessing. So, you know, rarely an audible voice, but we see a few times in Scripture, maybe Paul on the road to Damascus, where Jesus spoke to him and he heard the voice audibly, but not always. Okay, it does happen, but not often. Then we see God speaks to us. Jesus speaks to us in visions and in dreams. And many times when I'm praying, I see pictures. And this happened very young in life, and I didn't understand what I was seeing. And I didn't even think to care really what I was seeing many times when I would pray. I remember one time when I was a young man, I was praying and I saw a picture of an eye. And I said, oh, it's an eye. And then I saw next a picture of a socket wrench. And it was a socket. And I said, oh, it's an eye socket. I started laughing. That's so funny. An eye socket. And that was it. I did not even think for a second that might be God showing me something to pray concerning an eye socket. I don't know. But anyway, again, you don't want to get too far out there and crazy and weird to where everything means something and while we're off chasing aliens and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that. You got to use wisdom there. But to see things when you're praying and to realize when you're seeing a vision. Many times people are seeing visions and they don't realize it. They may be thinking, oh, that's just me. Or was that me? But in the Old Testament, we saw that prophets were called seers because they saw things. Just a few examples in Jeremiah 24:3. To Jeremiah, the Lord said unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? He said, I see figs. I see good figs, very good, and evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. And then God told him, hey, this is what you're seeing. He said to Amos in Amos 8:2, he said, Amos, what do you see? And he said, I see a basket of summer fruit. I mean, what if you were praying and you just saw a basket of summer fruit? Many times you just be like, oh yeah, fruit basket. That reminds me, I need to get a fruit basket for so-and-so. Well, we just bypass things. In Zechariah 5:5, the angel that talked with me went forth and said to me, lift up your eyes and see what is this that goes forth. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah, or a basket that goes forth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance throughout all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, or a big old coin of lead. And this is a woman that sits in the midst of the basket. And he said, this is wickedness. And he cast into the midst of the basket, the ephah, and he cast the weight of the lead upon the mouth and sealed it up. So we see he's talking here to Zechariah, and he says, I want you to see. What do you see? And Zechariah's like, I have no idea what I'm looking at. What is this? He said, it's a basket, and this lady's getting thrown in it, and a big old metal pot is getting, lid is getting put on it. And then it talks about how she goes to the land of Shinar, and basically to the land of Babylon and all this. But it was prophetic of what was coming in the future. And so God spoke in the Old Testament through visions and dreams, but he still does. We saw later how Abraham had the vision. The Lord took Abraham outside and he said, hey, look around, what do you see? And he said, I just see stars. And he said, so shall your descendants be. He showed him a picture. He showed him a vision, a dream. And that is the language, many times, one of the number one ways that the Holy Spirit communicates is through visions and dreams to us. And so we have to be like Paul, who was obedient to the heavenly vision. And he said, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm trying to remember the pastors, I'll have to find it in here in my Bible, but the pastor, who was Joyce Meyer's pastor? Rick Shelton. He came here and ministered one time, and I appreciated his ministry so much. It just was very good word. It was the old building, and I came up to him, I said, will you just sign my Bible for me? Not that I worship man or anything, but he signed it, and when he signed it, he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I never thought of that really till just now as I was saying this. And it inspired me to be obedient to the vision that God has given me and to lay hold of it, like I spoke last week, as far as tenacious faith, not letting go of the vision or what God has spoken to you, because he has given you things. He has spoken things. We see Daniel had visions and dreams. And much of what we know about the last days is from Daniel's visions and his dreams. And they haven't all been fulfilled yet. They haven't all happened yet, okay? If they had, we wouldn't be here. Because as soon as every word that is in the Bible is fulfilled, then we will be in heaven, amen? And then it will be continuing to be fulfilled, because it talks about eternity and forever and ever and ever what we will be doing and what the saints and the angels will be doing. So, the New Testament, God also continued to speak in visions and dreams. A few examples, he warned Joseph in a dream, remember, more than once, and told Jesus' family where to go. Go down to Egypt, warned him in dreams. We see Peter had a vision while waiting for lunch in Acts chapter 10. He was just waiting for lunch and all of a sudden started seeing visions. That's awesome. That'd be really cool if you were sitting there waiting for lunch and they called your table and you just sat there because you're in a trance seeing a vision from the Lord. Paul had a night vision to go preach in Macedonia in Acts chapter 16. And God has spoken to all of us many times in dreams. And we do hear from Jesus. We do hear from God. And I had a dream one time where I knew it was from God because the fruit of it, it worked. I had a dream one time where, and this was not too long ago, where in my dream I was in jail. And I talked about this once before in here in a meeting when I was preaching, where I was in jail in my dream. In jail with three black ladies. And one of them was crying. And I had just realized I am going to be in jail for the rest of my life. And I am with these ladies. And I felt the despair, and I felt the pain and the anguish, and it was, and my heart sunk. I have no way to describe it except just that it was a very hopeless feeling. And the one girl that was looking at me, I could see her face as tears were running down her face. And I woke up from that dream with my heart pounding and I was sweating, and I just said, "Oh Lord, I didn't like that feeling. Thank God that was a dream." And I came to work that morning still thinking about that. And when I got here, on my desk was some mugshots of three black ladies, one of them crying, and an article in the newspaper that Renee Cockcroft had put on my desk because it concerned outreach, a certain area where we go soul winning. And I looked at this and I saw the picture of the one girl and I said, "This is that girl I just dreamed about." And I read the story and it says she had killed a girl, and all three of those ladies, two sisters and a mother, were in jail and were going to be tried for murder. And I called Renee and actually went to her office and said, "I had a dream last night about this. I've got to find out where this lady is." So I called around and found out she was at the jail right here in Tarrant County. She was arrested somewhere else. She tried to run or whatever, and they caught her. She was here in the jail downtown. So I said, "Well, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to go help that lady any way that I can, because I know that feeling. I've been there." And whether she's guilty or not, she has a hopelessness that is dreadful. So I went down there. I go to the jail and I talk to the lady that's, when you go to visit the jail, there's like a big waiting room, and there's this lady kind of behind glass or whatever, a police officer. And I said, "Hey, I'm here to see so-and-so. Here's her name." And she said, "Are you her lawyer?" I said, "No, ma'am." And she said, "Well, then you're not getting in to see her." And I said, "Well, I am a minister." And she says, "Well, nobody can get in there and see her. You realize what she's in there." I said, "Yes, I'm aware." I said, "You won't understand this, but I had a dream last night. Let me explain this to you." And I told her, "I had a dream and I have got to come visit this lady because God cares about this lady." And she said, "What church do you go to?" I said, "Calvary Cathedral International downtown." "Oh, Pastor Bob Nichols." "Oh." And at the time she knew Barb Arbo. And she said, "Oh, I love that church." And she says, "I tell you what. Favor. And also just being obedient to what God said to do. Favor is in that path of obedience." So she goes, she looks at me, she kind of looks around, she goes, "There's an elevator back there. The door's going to open. When it opens, you get on it." She says, "You go to such and such floor. When the door opens, you get off." "Okay." I said, "Okay, thank you." So I walked over there. The elevator opened. I got on it. It shut. I was like, "Oh, hallelujah." The door opened. I walked into a room. There was no one in. And there was just like you see on the movies or on TV, there were these just little stools sitting there with glass and a phone. So I'm like, "Okay. Well, there's nobody, so I'm just waiting." Finally, here comes this lady. They open a door. She comes and sits down on the other side of the glass. And she looks at me like, "Huh?" And I walk to the glass and I sit down. And she was going, "Who are you?" And I said, "Well, let me explain. I had a dream last night. And this is what happened in my dream. And in my dream, I saw you. And she was like, what? I said, I saw you and you were crying. And there was hopelessness and tears start running down her cheeks. And I said, and God sent me to pray for you. I said, I don't know anything about your situation except what I read in the paper and what I felt last night in my dream. But I said, one thing I do know, I believe this is what God was wanting me to tell you. First of all, God is with you. God sees what you're going through, and He cares about what you're going through. And He's going to help you through your time here in prison. Again, she's crying. Let me ask you another quick but important question. If you died this very moment, do you know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt you'd go to heaven? She said, no, I don't. I said, well, let's pray. And I was able to lead her to the Lord over that phone, through that glass. And then I asked her, because I had been there, I said, is there anything else I can do for you? And she said, do you have any money you could give me? She said, if you can put some money on my account, I can get some toiletries or whatever that I need while I'm here. And I said, yes, I will do that. She said, can you get me a Bible? I said, yes, I can do that. So I went down and put $50 on her account and just said, praise God, and never saw or heard from her again. I tried to contact later. They said they transferred her. They said she's in a federal, most likely, if she for the crime she committed, she was found guilty. She's not there anymore downtown. She was at a federal prison. And so, anyway, I trust that God is watching out for her. And that God cares even about murderers. Can you imagine that? Isn't that amazing? Even murderers. The other part of that story, I knew the place where, and the girl that she killed, I knew where that was, and I went there, and when I got there, I found a little memorial there, and the boyfriend of that girl and all his friends were there, and I went to him, and I asked him, has anyone ever told you God loves you? And I was able to lead him and all of those his friends to the Lord also at that location. Praise God. That's awesome. So, God speaks to us in dreams. And you say, well, how do you know that dream was from God? I think we all bear witness that was from God, right? Not every dream is from God. I've had some dreams that I believe were probably pizza dreams. And they take discernment. But I do hear from Jesus. I do hear from God on a regular basis from multi ways. There's not any one way that God talks to us. He talks to us through other people, through words of prophecy. And I've received words of prophecy that came to pass. And God has used me to deliver words of prophecy that came to pass. And it's important to try the spirits, the Bible says, to see if a word is from God. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is the Messiah, that Jesus Christ the Messiah has come in the flesh and has died and resurrected, that's who the Messiah is, He is resurrected, is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has already come and has died and buried, resurrected, that is the spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore you have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. So what we're hearing a lot of times from people is the spirit of Antichrist. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. And you wonder, why would somebody say something like, why would the media say things like that? Because they are of the world and they speak of the world. Why are other religions hateful, so hateful about Jesus? Because they are of the world and they speak of the world. And the world heareth them. And you wonder, why does this person have a voice? Why do they even have a voice? Because they are of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. It's real simple when we look at it that way. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, I have had some words from God. You talk about the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I've been in many meetings, and sometimes people would get up and try to prophesy something, and I knew immediately that's just not of God. Pastor Bob has talked about this one time where he went to a meeting, and the guy prophesied and says, you know, this thus saith the Lord. You're supposed to go back home, resign your church, and quit the ministry or whatever, and go travel or whatever, quit your church. And people were, are you going to listen to that, Pastor? And he said, no. And they said, well, we didn't bear witness with that either. Thank God. Some words you just know are goofy. Don't give a goofy prophetic word. I was in a meeting one time where this lady stood up and started giving a prophetic word. And I said, wait a second, that's a line from Lord of the Rings, the movie. What is that? I'm like, that's an exact quote from Lord of the Rings. That's not a word from God. And sometimes prophets will just prophesy something they heard another prophet say, and they'll just copy and say the same thing. You're like, wait a second, and it may be God's giving you the same word, but a lot of times you're just saying the same thing somebody else said. God didn't say that to you to say necessarily. So you have to be careful about that, you know. It's like this one story I heard one time where this lady, she was sitting on the front row as this young preacher, this young prophet was preaching. And as he was preaching, he would say something and the lady would say, oh, that's Charles Finney. He would be like, so he'd start preaching again and he'd say something else. And the lady would say, oh yeah, that's Billy Graham. So then he just kept preaching, and this lady knew everybody he had been listening to. And she said, as he said one other thing, he's getting frustrated with her. And she said, oh, that's Smith Wigglesworth. And he goes, lady, shut up. And she goes, that's you. But God will speak through people to us many times. God will speak through people to us that we don't even realize. And they may not even realize they're speaking of God. You know, there's a time in our life, especially as young people or as children, where we'll just get a glimpse of our destiny or our future, of what God has for us, and He'll speak to us through a person. And also the devil will speak to us through a person many times when we're young. Like where I remember Pastor Bob talking about being a boy, one of his teachers telling him, you'll never amount to anything. That wasn't God. We know where that voice came from. But praise God, he resisted that. He knew that's contrary to God's word. And I remember one time being, I was a sacker at a grocery store. And the store manager, I'll never forget this, the general manager of the whole store, as I'm sacking, I was teaching this little kid how to sack groceries. And the mother was so amazed because this kid was evidently a terror and she couldn't control the kid. And so I'm showing the kid, and let me show you how you do this. And I'm teaching how you sack colds with the colds, warm with the warms. You've got the dry goods over here, chemicals together. And this lady tells my, and it was perfect timing, the whole general store manager walks up and she says, wow, this guy is so good with kids. And I'll never forget, my manager tells her immediately, he said, Dan is good with everybody. And it was like, I can't explain it, but it was like a word from God hit me in my heart. And I said, and at that moment, I received that word. And I said, I can communicate to anybody. I can speak to anybody. I can preach to, I don't only preach to kids, that's great if I did. I don't only preach to adults. I don't only preach to senior citizens. I'm good with anybody. I can preach the gospel to anybody. And that I grabbed a hold of it and I identified with that word. So don't identify with a word from the devil. Come on. Yeah. That's the problem with the world right now, is they are just identifying with what the devil says about them. And they're choosing that. They're choosing whether to identify or not. And you can choose. I'm going to identify with Christ. And in doing that, I'm going to identify also, I'm going to identify with his sufferings, because there will be some people want to pick up some rocks when you start doing that. But also, I'm going to identify with his word. I'm going to say, that's me. What he says about me, that's me. I am of God. I know that God hears me. I know that God hears my words and that I hear his words. Peter told Jesus, when he said, who do you say that I am? He said, you are the Son of God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but God spoke this to you. You're speaking the voice and the words of God. Boy, praise God, that's a lot better than get behind me, Satan. Because another time Peter said, Jesus, you're not going to die. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You're not speaking God. You're speaking of the devil. And so we see through Peter that many times we have to be careful what we're saying. And we can be speaking the voice of Jesus to someone, or we're speaking the voice of the devil to someone. So we don't want to do that. Amen? And so many times we're prophesying things and we don't even realize it. So a lot of times prophecy starts out as a conversation. I was talking to Tony last night, Tony Haygood at Eagles Club. And as we were talking, he was telling me a little bit about Jewel Nichols, Pastor Bob's mother, who I got here just after, I guess, she passed. Because I didn't have her in Bible college. But I hear that she was a very good teacher. A lot of people enjoyed hearing Jewel Nichols' teachings. And I said, tell me about it. Because I thought that was interesting. He hung out with her at times, did radio broadcasts for her. I did not know that. It's very rare that I hear something around here that I did not know. After over 25 years of being here, I still hear things that I didn't know. I'm like, really? That is interesting. Tony Haygood, that she did radio programs. And he said, yes. And when she would be talking to you, many times she would be talking to you and all of a sudden just start shift over in the spirit and start prophesying over you, give you a word from the Lord, and then just shift right back into normal conversation. Okay, let's just go whatever we're doing. I thought, huh, that's interesting. That is interesting. And many times prophecy starts out as conversation, but when you sense that you are starting to shift over into the prophetic, go ahead and go there. And you'll experience this happening into your life, to where you're going to start talking to people, and as you're talking to them, just regular conversation, Teresa. Just regular conversation, and you're talking about maybe certain things, and maybe you're talking about certain foods that are good for you, like you do, you know. Maybe you're talking to somebody, and this is really good for you, and you know, if you'll eat this, you know what, and by the way, you know, I just feel right now the Lord's telling me that you are healed of the Lord, and that pain that you've been having in your back, that God is healing that right now, and I just hear the Lord saying, as your days are, so shall your strength be, and you just shift over into prophecy, and then you just go about your business. That can happen, and it should happen, and it does happen. But learn to recognize that. And also learn to recognize when to shift into prayer. There are a lot of times whenever I'm talking to somebody, and it's been more recent that I've learned really how to do this, as I'm talking with people, I'll sense, you know what, they need prayer. Let's pray about this right now. Not, I'm going to pray for you later. Again, that's kind of a culture we've been taught here in Calvary Cathedral International, that has really been a blessing to me in my life and to many others. As I'm talking with them, instead of talking worry, or instead of talking defeat or negatives, you know, so many times we have to be careful we don't catch ourselves, or that we do catch ourselves starting to say things that are just negative. I was reading a Facebook post the other day of a good friend of mine who was talking about her, I believe it was her son's or someone, I think it was her son's talking, and one of them said, oh, this is bad. This is really bad. And the other son said, hey, be positive. And he replied, oh, I'm positive. This is bad. And we have to be careful not to be positive that life is bad. But instead of worrying, instead of being negative about something, shifting gears and say, let's pray about that right now. Lord, we just thank you, God, that you, and you start shifting into the positive, what God's word says. God, we just thank you that we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. Thank you, Lord, we're going over and we're not going under. God, we just thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I just thank you that your blessing is upon us. Your favor is on us. Greater is he that's in Teresa than he that's in the world. I just thank you, God. Praise God. And then it's amazing. You walk away with a whole different thought or mentality. And you're shifting out of the negatives. We all need people like that in our lives, don't we? That will, I appreciate that. I really do. If I'm ever being negative or talking negative and you do that to me, I appreciate that. I really do. I'll say, you know what, you're right. In fact, I caught myself this week, something like that was happening, and Robert White was there at the door, and he started saying some positive things and started saying good things. And I said, you know what? I said, Robert, you are right. Thank you. I appreciate what you're saying, because that is exactly the truth. And praise God, I receive that. Hallelujah. And just a shift of the way you talk. Yeah. And we all need that at times. Amen. And I appreciate that. And I hope you do too. That you're not upset with somebody just because they won't let you have a negative mindset. That frustrates some people because they want so bad just to talk bad or negative. Don't be that way. Many times you'll find the word of God coming out of yourself. Hallelujah, out of yourself. How does God talk to me? Many times God talks to me through myself. I'll say things, I say, whoa, that was just God speaking through me. Praise God. I believe God's speaking through me right now to you. And that God can speak to you right now through yourself. Isn't that awesome? Kind of like the guy that dreamed he was sleeping and he woke up and found himself asleep. How does that happen? I remember one time after the tornado came, it had just blown over, and it was like everything was crazy, and my brain was gone, and I'm walking out, I'm looking at everything that's destroyed, and I'll never forget lifting my hands to heaven, and at the top of my lungs shouting, God, I will always serve you! And I haven't forgotten that. I thought, how funny that must have been if anybody saw me. But you know what? That's not crazy. That's a good thing. Amen. I'm glad that's what came out of my mouth. You know, people that make fun of people for praying are the same people that will cuss. You think about it. Many times in disaster type situations, you got one person that's praying, another person is cussing. Which would you rather be? Think about it. I think the cuss are strange. When you're saying GD this or GD that, what are you speaking? You're receiving it. Or even worse, you're speaking other things that are just terrible things, and you're reaping the results of your words, and yet the world says that's normal. Well, sure. Everybody cusses. You mean you don't cuss? I say, well, that's the world. Again, I say, yeah, of course we hear from God. You mean you don't hear from God? You don't hear from Jesus? When I'll never forget the first time I was working at the Olive Garden. And I was telling some of the servers there, we had break, you know, over to the side. I was telling them, yes, I hear from God. And they said, you mean God talks to you? I said, yes, God talked. And they were amazed. And this girl sitting across the booth, she goes, what is God saying to me right now? I said, he's telling you to repent. And if you'll do that, he'll keep talking to you. Anyway, God will speak to you through yourself. I remember another time I told my dad, I had mentioned to him, I don't know, I was about 16 maybe or 15, and it was in Omaha, Nebraska, and I remember telling my dad, I just somehow knew in my spirit, I said, Dad, I believe we're going to Israel. And he said, what? I said, I believe we're going to Israel. And he said, well, son, I believe we'll all end up there someday. We're all going to Israel someday. I said, no, Dad, I believe in this life that we're going to Israel. He said, he just thought that was interesting. I mean, to me, at that point, you'd had to have understood there was no chance of that happening. Nothing in the horizon to give that thought or anything. But yet God dropped that in my heart. And then here I was in the year 2000 on my way to Israel. I went there. Then I went again in 2004 to Israel. Then I went again in 2005 and ended up getting engaged in Israel by the Sea of Galilee. That's where I proposed to my wife on my knees as these Hebrew fishermen were coming by in their boat with Pastor Bob and Charlie there. And you were there. And you were there. And you were there. It was like the Wizard of Oz. But it was real. It really happened. And God spoke to me that 9 years before. Isn't that amazing? Before we ever even came to Calvary Cathedral International and knew there was an Israel trip or anything. Little did I know I would get engaged there. Amen. I would say, take up your cross and follow me to my disciple by the Sea of Galilee. And she would. Oh, praise God. Anyway, God speaks to yourself. Pastor Bob at Farrington Field, he's told that story many times, how he said, he spoke at the Oral Roberts Tent Crusade, someday I will be a preacher of the gospel. Something along those lines. He told his friends that, and they probably didn't believe it at the time because there was nothing in his life necessarily that gave that indication. But at that tent, at Oral Roberts Tent Crusade, he spoke a word in his heart, and it came to pass. He grabbed a hold of it. And again, don't be surprised if people start picking up rocks when you start saying what God says about you. Or people start laughing or mocking or making fun or what? Come on. Speak it out. How to hear from Jesus. Your spiritual ears. Not your physical ears. A lot of times we think so carnally that we say, oh, you hear from Jesus. Not necessarily with my physical ears, but with my spiritual ears. Jesus says in Matthew 13:14, so God's promise came true, just as the prophet Isaiah had said, these people will listen and listen, but never understand. They'll look and look, but never see. All of them have stubborn minds. Their ears are stopped up. Their eyes are covered. They cannot see or hear or understand. If they could, they would turn to me and I would heal them. But God has blessed you because your eyes can see and your ears can hear. That's what Jesus was saying. And so go ahead, make fun of our Vice President Mike Pence because he says he hears from Jesus only because you don't. But he's not the one with the problem. You can make fun of him and say, oh, that's so ridiculous that a politician would not be alone with a member of the opposite sex without his wife there or whatever. But I say, now, wait a second. That would probably be wisdom considering the past presidencies that we've had. I actually appreciate that. I don't make fun of that. I say, oh, that's wisdom. He won't get in trouble that way. And I see that. We keep that ourselves in our marriage. And say, you know what? I believe that's wisdom. Not to be alone with a member of the opposite sex. Not to hang out with somebody that's not your spouse for extended periods of time, or where you're closer to some woman than you are to your own wife. That's not good. That's not wisdom. You're setting yourself up for failure. And so what the world mocks, I see the wisdom in it. Amen? And like Pastor has said many times, if somebody else's spouse is looking good to you, then you need to repent. You need to change. You need to say, God, help me, and stay away from that person. Again, it's only for your own good. It's not because you're being condemned or judged or anything. And if you get offended, it's like Pastor Bob has said many times, if you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that barks is the one that you hit. And so if it offends you, then you're the one. Well, I can't believe you would say that. Well, hey. Only ones that have a problem with tithing are the ones that aren't doing it. And so on, and so on, and such like. The inward witness is another way. We just know. How do you explain that? You just know by the Holy Spirit. I hear from God like a file download. Just like I get an email. I heard from Charlie Pryor. He approved this. Whatever. I sent this memo to Charlie, and he approved it. Well, did you hear from him? Did he talk to you? Yes. How? By email. How did you get the email? I downloaded it. Well, how did God talk to you and tell you this? He downloaded it in my spirit, just dropped it in me. I can't tell you how I know it's there. It's just there. And so God downloads things to us. 1 John 4:13, God has given us His Spirit. That's how we know that we are one with Him, just as He is one with us. See, I've got Jesus on the inside of me. And so what Jesus knows, it's like, bam, I can know what He knows as the Spirit reveals it to me. Last point here, and we're about to dismiss. But before we do, I'd like the band to go ahead and come on up and just get ready. Praise and worship team. The written word of God is how God speaks to us through the Holy Bible many, many times. See, the Bible is not just a book. The amazing thing about the Bible or God's word is that it is a live book. Amen? God speaks to us through His word because it is a living word. And faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. The Bible is life to those that find it, and health to all their flesh. So that it also, not only can God speak to you, but He also cleans viruses at the same time. Not only did you get an email, but He also wiped all the viruses you had on your hard drive clean. Praise God. I just received healing through the word that is spoken to me. And let me tell you something. You are healed right now by the word that is spoken to you. This morning, Pastor Bob said somebody right now just received healing from depression. Somebody right now, just because he just said a word and he recognized and understood, somebody just now got delivered from depression. Did you see that? Did you catch that this morning in the service? Somebody just now got healed as I'm speaking the word to you. It can happen. It does happen. God just downloaded it. You received it. You just clicked on it. You said, Lord, I received that email. 2 Peter 1:16 says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables, fake news, fables, when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from excellent glory. We heard it. It came from heaven, an audible voice. This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And He said, this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the holy mountain. We also have a more sure word of prophecy. We also have, whereunto you do well if you'll take heed to it, like a light that shines in a dark place till the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture of is any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So when we speak God's word, we realize that we are speaking the word of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit's will. And there is a word from God about you in this Bible. You just got to read it and find it. Matthew 5:16. Jesus just told me, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men so they'll see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. You say, how do you know Jesus told you? Because it's his word. He spoke to me. Galatians 5:14. He said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Praise God. I'm going to do that. I believe that's Jesus speaking to me. He said in John 19:28, and Jesus lived life to fulfill scripture. You realize that's Jesus' whole desire was to fulfill the word of God. And he said in John 19:28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar. They filled a sponge with vinegar, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, in Psalm 69:21, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. He knew this is the last word of prophecy in this life before I raise from the dead that will be fulfilled. When that vinegar is given to me, I know, give up the ghost, because that's the last one in this life. Now there are many more to come. And we are part of those words. And just like Paul said, I've finished my course. I fought the good fight. Now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I've held on to the faith. I've held fast what God spoke to me. And the same way, we should be living our life to fulfill God's plan for our life. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. That last song that y'all played, the chorus of that song, I believe we're going to see some mountains move tonight. And that with God, his word shall come to pass. Not might be, not maybe, not I hope so, but shall come to pass. Amen? And so what I would like to do at this point right now is I would like everyone just to come up here to the front. Everybody just come right up here to the front and we're going to listen to the Lord for a moment. We're just going to listen to what God would say to us. We're going to trust that we're hearing from the Lord. I don't plan on laying hands on people, but if the Lord leads me to, I will. Just obeying God. Many times I like to close my eyes just because there's no distractions. Many times people are so ADD, attention deficit disorder. They get a text and they're looking at their phone. Then they're seeing what else did they say? And then they're replying. You're distracted. Something happens over here. You're looking at something that maybe you like or don't like. You're distracted. So take some time just to stop and listen. Play that chorus.
Seeing you move the mountains. I'll see you do it again. Made a way where there was no way. And I believe I'll see you.
Pastor Bob, would you come on up? I got a mic up here for you. That's all I've got. Any word you have from the Lord?
Father, we thank you right now that we have heard the word we believe that you want us to hear tonight. Thank you, Father. You do speak to your people. Hallelujah. Your people speak to you and you speak to your people. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you for the word tonight. My sheep hear my voice. We are his sheep, the sheep of your pasture, Lord. And we boldly say, in faith believing, I have, I am, I will hear the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. And it will agree. You'll always know the voice of God. It will agree with the Word of God. Hallelujah. I want us just to lift our voice and pray in the Spirit for a few moments here now. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ida de Barriangan de la Barriangan de la Borrakorekiasai. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. For God is moving by His Spirit, moving in all the earth. Signs and wonders when God moveth, move, O God, in me. Could you raise that just a little bit? Amen. God is moving by His Spirit, moving in all the earth. Signs and wonders when God moveth, move. Just, I want us just to claim a special walk with God this week. This message is not by accident. Let's just believe that we will hear the voice of God. Amen. That we will be witnesses stronger than before. That we will have a stronger desire to read the Word this week. And a stronger desire to spend time in prayer in His presence. The end time is on us. Jesus is coming soon. The signs of the time are around us, and our God still speaks today. Hallelujah. Father, I just set my faith for Joy and I and our family. We will hear from God this week in the name of Jesus. We will hear from God this week.